Cool. So, what are you guys here to learn? Whatever I'm teaching? All right. Well, I hope it's good enough. As you know, this is going to be only browser-based stuff, right? It's going to be hopefully cool about browser-based stuff. That's what I try my best to do. But it'll be only browser-based stuff, which is a big change for what I usually do. It's a lot of SharePoint Designer, workflows, InfoPath, BCS. That's the kind of stuff that I've been doing for many years now. And that's what I teach a lot in my classes and also for conferences. So it's a change. but let's see. Hopefully you like it. Still got about 3 minutes remaining. So how many people are excited here? Just a quick poll over here. For SharePoint Designer 2013. SharePoint Designer 2013, specifically. Okay. All right. Any complaints? You do? Okay, one person has a complaint. I already talked to you, Stephen, so I already know what your complaint is. That there's definitely a huge paradigm shift in where that product is going and also where InfoPath and everything is going. So we can definitely talk about that after the session. This session, I'm not going to be touching on any of that stuff over here. All right? It's going to be a lot of with the browser. Also, I got another question, and that's also related to what I'm going to talk about in a couple of minutes here. Are you guys excited about this whole App Store? Isn't that pretty cool? I mean, we've been so used to it now with our iPad and Microsoft Surface now and iPhone, everything else, and Windows Phone, of course, that, you know, it's just easy to just plug things in without completely affecting the environment. And we're so used to it. We've been asking about this for so many years that, hey, can we get a marketplace or something like that for SharePoint? It would be awesome. So now we finally got it. And you know what? I actually, in my demo, also have a couple of things for the marketplace. So I'll show you that as well. Let's see. One more thing. I guess I'll mention this right now, and I'll mention it again in the actual presentation too. But, you know, in this conference, we were passing out some of these cards over here. And for our site, SharePointVideos.com, this is actually 1 month free access to the SharePointVideos.com site. And I still have this many remaining. I don't know if it's going to be enough for everybody or not. But we bought a limited amount. I'm going to place it here, but for afterwards. Don't rush right now, please. Okay? So we have a lot of content at SharePointVideos.com, and this will give you 1 month free access to it if you need it, if you want it. All right. Who do you think in the back? Can I start? Who's in the back? Is that okay? I can start? Okay. So you got like half a minute to go. I'm sure there's a way to start this timer. Forgot about this thing. What do I press to start a timer? Here we go. Start. That makes sense. All right. So welcome, and thank you very, very much for joining. Really appreciate it. Like I said before, I hope you had a good conference so far, and I hope this session also is worth your time. You know, I'm very, very sensitive about that. When I go to sessions also, and I do, I go to quite a bit of sessions at conferences, I want there to be enough substance for it to be worth my time, and I feel that you should feel the same. So if you don't, I can get feedback at the end, no problem. I do want to set this expectations, and I'll be setting expectations later also, that this is a browser-based session, right? So no Visual Studio, no code. Not even the other stuff that I love to usually talk about, which is workflows and SharePoint Designer, InfoPath. There's a lot of that content that we have produced over the years on SharePointVideos.com, so you can check that out over there. And I would love to talk to you afterwards as well if you have any other questions that you have, but not during this session. This session does not go in any external tool except Word. We do open up Word once, Microsoft Word. But aside from that, that's it. Everything else is in the browser. Okay? Sounds good? All right, thank you very much. That's the code for this session. If you want to spread the word, you're welcome to do so. My name is Asif Rahmani. I'm a SharePoint MVP and Microsoft Certified Trainer, and I'm going to give you a quick spiel, not too much, but exactly who I am, what I do, so you get a good perspective of who I am before I start. That'll just take 2 minutes. So, as I mentioned before, I've been a SharePoint MVP for quite a long time now, and also a Certified Trainer by Microsoft. And aside from that, I'm a trainer and consultant. That's my real job. I love training and consulting. I just love to empower people. That's what I feel is what really helps me sleep at night, honestly. So I love that. And we do that quite a bit through SharePointVideos.com to give education on all things SharePoint. all things no-code SharePoint, really. So check that out. We have 450 so videos out there right now. Also, I'm a trainer with Critical Path Training. Do in-person training, online training, etc. for no-code solutions as well. Aside from that, conferences. The best thing I like about conferences, and I was able to accomplish that this week, is to meet you guys, meet people who are actually doing SharePoint day in, day out. Great to understand where things are going and what your challenges are and what you're liking about it and what you're not liking about it. Because, you know, some of us MVPs are the conduits to give the feedback back to Microsoft and also to create much more materials about it. So keep doing that. Keep talking. That helps quite a bit. Makes a difference. So I go to quite a bit of conferences. And also the last thing, it's going in and out a little bit. Been fortunate enough to write a few books. The latest one, and that's the one that I was doing the book signing for yesterday, is the SharePoint 2013 First Look for Power Users on the top left. Then you got the SharePoint Designer series that we did before, 2010, 2007, and also contributed to the real world SharePoint 2010 as well. And that's it about me. Let's talk about you. All right? So now, I am thinking that we have the following people, or following types of people in the room. Okay? We have information workers. Information worker, basically people who are actually day in, day out doing the actual SharePoint work. I'm sure there's plenty of those people here. Even if you're the administrator, you're also an information worker too, I think. Business analysts, a lot of those people, hopefully. And then also developers. It is a developer track, so I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of developers here. Let me get a quick show of hands. How many developers? Wow, awesome. So folks, as you know, there's a huge paradigm of no-code development, right? Focus on that, and even actually focus below that as to no-code development or no-code solution creation within the browser, and that's what's going to be our focus for this session, all right? How many IT pros, by the way? One last question. Appreciate that. Thank you. So I should have put that down here, too. All right. What to expect during this presentation? This is not SharePoint 101. So just because it's a browser-based session, of course, I'm not going to be telling you, hey, here's a site column, that's what it does, here's a content type, here's what it does. I'll be using those things to make the solutions, right? We'll be using site columns, we'll be using content types, we'll be using workflow solutions, and I'll just be going in to talk to you all about these things using the browser. That's the main focus. You okay with that? Okay, so no SharePoint 101 stuff. There's a lot of that content outside, so you can find that. I personally believe very, very strongly that SharePoint is a platform and it's a tool to accomplish solutions, to make solutions, right? The business use cases are a must. Do not start with a tool and say, okay, what can I do with this hammer? That's not the way to do it, and I'm sure many of you agree with that. So the business use case is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be showing you some of the snippets that, all right, here's the business use case. How do we solve that case using SharePoint that way? It should not be the other way around. And there's going to be lots of demos. No code and lots of demos, all right? Okay, so that's the plan. First, let's discuss one quick thing. What is a composite solution? Because, of course, the composite word is in the title. Anybody want to take a guess at this, by the way, before I say it? What do you think is a composite solution? Come on, somebody. Yes, Sarah. Something that you build with data that maybe resides in multiple locations, putting the data together, basically, a composite. That is a very, very good definition of it. Even extending it further, you can even automate things, working with data, automation, presentation, and these are all different building blocks, right? So the picture that I put up is this. It's a solution made up of distinct building blocks, right? That's the composite. All right. What are the building blocks? Let's talk about that quickly here. Out of this box, SharePoint building blocks. You got sites, lots of different kinds of sites. Some of the sites have been deprecated, but most of them, many of them are still there. The team site, of course, being the most popular, that and publishing site. You got lists and libraries, now called apps. I cannot get used to that. It's very difficult, but I'm going to maybe keep on calling them lists and libraries for a while, so please excuse me. But, you know, they're officially called apps. Pages. Obviously, lots of different pages. You got themes. What do we have? Search. Search is a big part of it. It's all built in if you configure it properly. Web parts, obviously. You got site columns, reusable column types that you can use. You got content types. and security management. So that's why it's truly a platform, right? Because all this stuff is there for you to take and say, okay, I'm going to put this piece here, I'm going to secure it over here, I'm going to take that, make it look pretty and all that stuff. And a lot of that stuff you can do in the browser. It's all the out-of-the-box building blocks. Even aside from the browser, when you go to the next step of taking a no-code solution, which I'll talk about as well, like a tool, I'll talk briefly about that. When you take that, still you're taking these building blocks to make things happen. It's not like you bring something from outside. Most of the time, it's stuff in here that you're taking, but with advanced tools like SharePoint Designer, InfoPath, Visual Studio, etc. So let's talk about those briefly. External tools, that's what I'm calling them, external tools for building solutions. SharePoint Designer has been my favorite for a long, long time, even at the front page days. Hope you don't mind me saying front page, the F word. But you know, in front page 2003, it made some really cool solutions, especially for SharePoint. But we will not be talking about that in this session. InfoPath, of course, a big one as well for forms management and stuff. Access, that is coming back, making a pretty big comeback right now. But that's been a good tool if you're comfortable with it, only if you're comfortable with it. And then, of course, the good old Visual Studio, which does everything and more if you're okay with programming, right? All right. Here it is, and that's it. We're not talking about these things in depth. We'll refer to it here and there, but that's it. Then we got the app marketplace. As I was mentioning before we got officially started, that there's a huge marketplace out there. In fact, our app is going to be going there pretty soon as well. And that is a great place to just snap in things and say, all right, it's working, it's good. Oh, no, it's not working. Take it out. Easier to take it out. It's decoupled. I think that's a great model to have. That's what we have had in all the mobile devices. Okay. So focus today is going to be a lot of the out-of-the-box functionality, okay, a lot of the out-of-the-box functionality, and also some of the third-party apps. I do want to make a disclaimer, though, before I start down this path. Microsoft, when they suggested that I do this session, they mentioned, they know what, we want you to talk about the third-party apps. And the first thing that came on my mind, like, you know, I don't want people to feel like I'm pushing an app, because I'm not. So I do want to make that disclaimer over here that I love these apps that I'm going to be talking about, but I'm not really affiliated with them, okay? I'm not pushing them, I'm not affiliated with them. I think they're great, but that's not my affiliation. All right, having said that, let's go for it. Different scenarios, and our focus right now as far as the role goes, because that's extremely important, who is the site owners, okay? And of course, that means site owners and above. All right, so what can site owners do? What is going to happen? Let's see. First scenario. Show me up-to-date information about a subject area on a particular page, but restricted only to PDF files. How do we accomplish that? So what I did over here in these scenario slides is I actually put in some possible scenarios, different things, and then I go with the no-code, the browser-based scenario. Okay, so that's one thing is, here we go, direct users to the advanced search page to run their own query. Yeah, okay. I mean, that's a prescribed solution. You tell them, all right, here's the advanced page. You go over there and do this and pick the content type, and then they say, all right, see you later, right? Or can you do this for me, please? That's not going to really work. Or program a solution for Visual Studio. That, of course, always works in all scenarios. I have that specific thing in everything because programming does everything. Do you have to program everything? I don't think so, personally. But programming, Visual Studio, and other programming languages, you can do a lot of good stuff. Then you got power tool like SharePoint Designer to create your solution. Now, there's a code view that is the main story right now in 2013, SharePoint Designer, right? You can inject a lot of code in there, JavaScript and everything else, to make things happen. Okay, if that's what you want to do, you can do a lot of good stuff with that. The last solution is use the out-of-the-box web parts. I'm a big believer, personally, that you should always be looking at the browser-based solution first. What is there right now? What can I take to put things together like Legos, and then after that, go forward? If I can't make that happen there, then I go forward. So, enough PowerPoint for now. Let's switch over to the environment. Can you guys see this okay? Okay. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be using something called a search web part. It's going to be a search results web part. And here's how this is going to work out. You see, in SharePoint, there's a functionality called result sources. Came from scopes before. And I'm going to be using the result sources to actually configure a predefined result source. my main focus here, my main goal here is that when somebody goes to a particular page, which I send them to, they would find a solution that is already prescribed for them, which is what I want them to see. So for example, here's my site, right? And I got a bunch of different things in here. Of course, I got a lot of documents, I got a lot of different lists and all that stuff. If I do a search, this, by the way, is running Office 365. It's running in the cloud right now, but the same kind of experience you can get in-house, same deal. I'm going to do a search for Travis. I know there's a couple of documents that has the words Travis in there. So one that popped up is a PDF file right here. And then you can further click on PDF here to say, I want to see only PDF files, right? And then this thing right here, which I believe is a Word document. So you got a couple of different things. Great. Let's go back one more time because it took me to search. I'm going to do a search now for something else. Let's say Globe. I know that's another keyword that brings back a couple of different things. So this, once again, this is a Word document. You got the PDF file here. So that's all good and well. But what I'm really envisioning for my users, because the best of my what I want to design, is a page they can go to first of all see all the different PDF-specific documents. Okay? That's the first thing. Let's make that happen. As a site owner, I can go to this gear thingy, which I still call site actions, site settings. Okay? Within that, I'm going to go under search to result sources. Result sources is a place where I can make a new result source or use an existing result source and then have a query reference that result source. Now, this might take a bit of understanding from the site owner's perspective that you give a site to say, hey, go manage this, but still it's all out-of-the-box stuff. So here's what you do. New result source. You define the result source name as arbitrary. I'm going to say PDF docs. Let's do that. Or just PDF. I think I'm going to use PDF docs for a page name later. Exactly what do you want to surface up? Mine's going to be local SharePoint data, so that's fine. SharePoint result. Here we go. Search results data. That's correct. Not people data. And here is my query. So how do I want to make this query? I'm going to launch the query builder. You guys have seen query builder, right? Some of you at least before. It's very, very cool. And this is definitely for the power users as well, not just for the advanced IT professionals and developers. Because, you know, overall, the query builder, when it comes up right now, it's defined in a way that it's fairly well understood by a semi-technical person or above. And those people I call power users or evangelists in departments, in organizations, are going to love this thing, I think, personally. So first thing that I want to do is I want to look for a property filter. Shows a bunch of these popular ones. Then I can click on the show all managed properties and shows me everything. Okay. So what I'm looking for, as I mentioned before, is something to filter out the PDF stuff only, right? And that's going to be, as you can see, there's a lot of stuff in here. My focus is going to be the file extension right there. Okay, this guy. Okay. I couldn't select that. Let me select that here, file extension. And that's right here. Okay, so file extension, you could do contains or you could do equals. I'm going to do equals. And then you can select a bunch of different dynamic values or you can define your own manual value. In my case, it's going to be manual, and I'm going to put in PDF, simple, right? And then add the property filter. So that's adding the actual property filter to the query text, file extension equal PDF, fairly understood, easily understood. And then you can test the query, which helps quite a bit. Wow, so here we go. You got all these things which are PDF-only documents. Wonderful, right? Before I commit to it, I can see it. Then I can click on OK, and I know now that my result source called PDF that I defined, let me save this, right here, is always going to bring back only PDF specific documents. Now, the next thing, of course, is the presentation. How do I take this thing and show it on a page, in a web part, somewhere, anywhere? And of course, as you know, the web parts can be placed on web part pages, wiki pages. You can go ahead and put a web part on even a list page, wherever you want. So, in my case, I'm going to make a new page. And that is done by going to this, once again, gear thing, add a page. I'm going to keep on calling it a gear thing. Sorry. All right. PDF docs. Create. Makes a new ASPX page, new page. And here I can click on insert. go to the web part gallery. And in here, I need to look for a search web part. Here's a different bunch of search web parts out there. The one that I'm interested in right now is search results. However, you should definitely play around with the remaining as well. There's a lot of good stuff out there. And you know what I do? You probably do the same thing as when you see something and you're like, I'm not sure exactly how to use, for example, refinement. Do a search for it. People are writing about it and making videos about it already. So you're going to find information all over the place. I'm going to take search results. Click on add. This is what it comes up with. Nothing that matches your search because I've not done any query pairing here yet. So as always, you go to this arrow and edit web part. So the configuration of the web part. Within that, I'm going to click on change query. Once again, a similar kind of screen will pop up. There it is. And in here, I can define exactly which query to use. Here's my PDF. Okay? Here also, I can test it out. So now, imagine this scenario. You know, you have this one query, which is going to be used by this one particular web part, but you're not limited to that, right? You can use the same exact query in multiple web parts. And when the query changes, all the web part rendering will change. So let me show you how this looks. OK. We'll run the query. And here it is, right? Let's do a save. This is what it looks like. Of course, there are other ways using display templates and things like that to make it look prettier and do different things for it. But right now, I just want to show you this, that you get all the results, all the PDF-specific documents. And that's great. What I was saying before is pretty important, so let me say that one more time. This is a rendering from that particular query. You can take the same kind of web part or different web parts and relate to the same query, so the same PDF query. And then when that changes, this will change. And I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about here. So if I go back to site settings and say that what I really want my users to see when they come to this page, so I'm going to go back to result sources first of all, under search. I want them to see only a specific query run. So not all the PDF docs, but all the PDF docs which has a specific keyword. So in here, I'm going to go back to the query builder, which I was at before. It's the same deal. Now here, I can go to the keyword filter and say that query from the search box. So it's actually really a search box when you put in a query in there, like I did in the beginning. What pops up with that result? All right, so add this keyword filter. So it just puts in the search box query. Now I'm going to put the actual query in there, which is going to be Travis. As you know, Travis does return a couple of results, or one result, right? Let's do it. Test query. Here we go. Okay, so it's actually bringing back another subsite's information as well. Top-level site and then a subsite. Let's do something else. The other one that I had before is Globe. Let's do that. And here it is. Yeah? Let's go. Okay. So do I have to change, reconfigure my other web part? No, because automatically using it. Go back home, go to, now I need to, of course, what would be really good for the users is if you put a link from here somewhere on the navigation to that page. Since I don't have that link, I'm going to go back the little bit harder way, which is going into, where is it? Site pages, of course, sorry. PDF docs, under PDF docs, here it is, right? The only thing you got to remember about this whole search web parts and everything else is the search index has to run, right? The index takes some time, and depending on how much data is changing in your environment and how disparate that environment is also, it might take some time, but that's it. Aside from that, the search works really, really well. You guys like that? Awesome. Oh, thank you. I just showed it to you. Microsoft made it, but I'll take it. Okay. So that's one. That was a scenario. Now, let's see. Wrong thing here. Second thing over here. We're going to go even deeper now. Provide a place for users to submit expense report created in Microsoft Word. Reports should be filterable. I don't know if that's a word. But anyway, filterable and sortable by department and expense. I didn't miss anything, did I? Yeah, no, that was the next scenario. Okay. So let me focus on that. How do I make something happen that we're restricted right now by Microsoft Word? And there are many companies that I have worked with which say that, you know, we have to make our expense report in Word. There's no other way. We can't go with InfoPath, Asif, or we can't go with the online forms from the a vendor or something. We have to use Word. All right, well, if you have to use it, and of course, it would be really, really helpful that if you use Word, you could take the information that's in Word. You could take the information that's within the actual application, the actual document, surface it up somewhere where it becomes easily searchable, easily sortable, easily filterable, right? So how do you make that happen? Let's talk about it. That's one solution. The end user is responsible for filling out the metadata in columns. I'll wait for you to filter this and laugh. Okay. So anyway, that's not going to happen. Well, it does happen sometimes, but it's kind of difficult to make that happen. Hopefully you can make it happen. If you do, that's great. I would love to hear that story. After the expense report is uploaded through the library, a workflow runs to extract the needed information into the columns. So a workflow runs, a workflow could be made with whatever, right? Many different tools, and extracts the information that you want. Possible, absolutely. Look for a third-party product that accomplishes this scenario. Most of them also have their own workflow engine, or they go on top of workflow, workflow engine, you know, which was I'm talking about, right? There's many of them out there. Okay, or you can use the Quick Parts functionality. Okay, and that's what I'm going to show you. Quick Parts is not really new to SharePoint 2013 specifically, but it's one of those unknown things that many people don't think about, that they don't talk about. So I'm going to show you how that works out. It shouldn't be that long. And then we're going to move on to other SharePoint 2013 specific things. But this is also a browser-based specific scenario. All right. Here's what we're going to do. So okay. What I want to do here is first make a new content type, right? So I'm going to go and do site settings. The reason I'm making a new content type is because that's going to be my expense report, specifically. Site content types. And of course, site owners can make this happen. Create. Once again, this also requires some training. You can't just tell them, oh, make a content type. And like, what? What do I say? You have to train them a little bit, obviously. Understand what content types are and all. So in here, the content type is going to be named expense report. Let's do that. And I'm going to assume that many of you have worked with content types already, so I'm going to go fairly fast here. It's going to be a document type of content type, and I'm going to put it into a new group, and that group is going to be AW. All right? Document content type. Just putting an arbitrary group called AW. Great. Second thing, once I have my content type, and that's where I am right now, I'm going to make a couple of different columns in it. So I'll say add from new site column, which really means that make a new site column and then actually add that site column in my content type. It's a very cool type of wording, which many people don't understand, including me. Like, what? In the beginning, at least. Okay. So here, employee is my first site column. And that's also going to go into a new group, AdventureWorks, AW, so I can easily find it later. Single line of text, easy to do. Second thing, we'll go fast here, add from new site column. And the second thing is going to be department. We'll just do DEPT. And that's going to be a choice column. I love, by the way, the fact, I don't know if you realize this or not, that it doesn't refresh as much. It does actually refresh, but it's not as intrusive as it used to be. So that, kudos to Microsoft for that. Okay, AdventureWorks, there we go. The choice is going to be IT, marketing, HR. And I don't want a default choice in this case. I'm going to remove the default choice. We got a department column now, and it's going to have three choices, and we're good. All right, one more. Employee, department, and add from site column, and that's going to be expense. Okay, expense is going to be currency, obviously, and existing group, AW. Okay, that's good, everything is good, and okay. All right, now in advanced settings of the content type, you can actually place a template that you want to use with this content type, and I do have a template. I'm going to show that to you right now somewhere here. Here we go, expense report template. It's a nice looking template, I think. Here it is. Okay, so Here's the template. It's got name, department, purpose, a lot of good stuff. We're not going to be using all these things, but it's got some good stuff in there. I'm going to go ahead and import that in. So browse to the template, and that is expense. There we go. Expense report template. Click on OK. Now we have the content type created. What do you do now is you use a content type, of course. We go to document library. Now, actually, you know what? This is already pretty filled up. Let me go ahead and make a new document library. Oh, I'm sorry, a new app. Sorry. See? All right, so add an app, which happens to be document library. Okay. We'll say SPC docs. How about that? Okay, so SPC docs over here. And within SPC docs, which is right here, I'm going to go in there, go to library settings. Within library settings, as most of you should know already, that in, you have to go in advanced settings if you want to manage the content type. So I'm going to click on, yes, let me manage the content types, please. You have to say please when you're doing this. I don't know if you know that. It's a secret. Okay, so then you go down here. Here's your content type. No, it's not. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, here's the content type section. Now, add from existing site content types. Within that, I'm going to go to AW Group, go to expense report, click on add. Wonderful. Now I got it there, right? Expense report content type. Now, once you have the expense report content type consumed in here, you go inside of here, and then you start doing the cool stuff, which is, here's my content type that I created earlier. Here are all my columns that I created earlier. Employee, department, expense. Great. And now if you go into these advanced settings here, it will let you modify the template for this specific copy of the template, specific copy of the content type that's being used for this library. Please remember that I'm just modifying it for specifically this library. So edit template. Yes, I do want Office 2013 to open up this thing. I'm also running Office 2010 on this machine as well, which I'll get rid of soon, I think. Love the way 2013 looks and behaves. Okay, so here it is. Right? Now here, what I want to do here is I want to put some placeholders here, and that's what quick parts are all about. You can go to specific fields like this one here and go insert. Here, this small thing right here is what quick parts is. You go in here, you go into document property, and it shows you all different things. Let's see, here we go. All different properties basically of the document, whether local properties or also server properties as well, including, guess what? We've got our good old department employee expense. All these things are there. Yeah? So I'm going to add these things, disperse them out as I need them. For name, I'm going to put in document property, and that's going to be employee. Single line of text. For department, we'll go to web quick parts and then department, which is right here. And of course, I could make more quick parts and all, but I'm just going to use three. And the last one is going to be the total owing to the employee, the actual expense. So we'll go here. We'll go to quick parts, document property, and expense. And there it is, right? Let me save this. Exit out of here. Remember, all I did was I modified the template for this library, for this content type specifically. Now when I go back to this library, SPC docs, people will come in and start filling out the actual forms, right, for their expenses. New document, expense report. Of course, there's an easy way to get rid of this as well. I always recommend that. If you're going to be using this as a default, remove this thing right here. But for now, that's fine. Okay, I want to make a new expense report. Yes. When the expense report template comes up and lets me make an instance of this document, an expense report, it should have those placeholders and it should understand, if everything goes right, what to do, exactly where to pull the information from. All right. Now, for employee, of course, this is just, okay, so now it's also pulling up the document information panel, which we don't need right now. Let me get rid of that. So for a person, get into the head of your end user, right, who's actually filling this out. They're going to put in their name, of course. All right, department. Whoa, I got a drop down. That's pretty cool. Okay, I'm marketing. Great. And then, of course, they'll fill out the expenses and everything else. Automatically, this should transfer the actual amount here, but we don't have all that stuff hooked up, so I'm going to go ahead and put something in here Actually, we'll make it $300. Okay, so $300. Great. Let's save this. Asking me, where do you save it? SPC Docs is where I want to save it. It's going to be called Asif Expense. And, all right, so I've saved it. Let's see. Get back here. Refresh here. Let's see what happens. Here it is, right? You can change the view. Modify this view. So you can see the other properties that you really, really care about. And then we'll be doing some cool stuff with those properties. But here we go. So we got department, yes. Employee, yes. Expense, yes. All these different properties, different columns I want to expose in this library. And here it is, right? Now, I don't know how many people have used this already. Let me get a show of hands, actually. How many people have used QuickParts before? Oh, very good. Awesome. So QuickParts is still alive and well. Now, going further after QuickParts, what do you do with this stuff? That's going to be the next scenario. You know, using QuickParts is a great way to surface information, but what do you do with this information? You can filter, you can make views of it, right? You can use them in your workflows. Workflows, let's talk about that. So, the next scenario is to do with that. Now, if an expense is submitted is greater than $200, notify the boss. Okay? I'll play the boss in this case. It's cool to be the boss sometimes. All right. Possible solutions over here. Manually email or call the boss when someone's expense is over $200. That's, once again, not going to happen. The manual stuff. Next, what you can do, create notification workflow using Visual Studio. Once again, workflows, Visual Studio works great. And next, obviously, something that I love a lot is SharePoint Designer workflows. We're not talking about that, but SharePoint Designer workflows you can make to make this happen. And next, use a third-party workflow app to check the amount and generate notification. So this is where this third-party app integration comes in. I'm looking for a workflow. I know that this is the best way to accomplish this thing. I don't have SharePoint Designer, or they maybe have locked it down. Happens all the time, right? And the workflow that's out of the box, we got approval, collect feedback, collect signatures, page publishing workflow. You got a bunch of those things, but they're not going to do what I want to do. Then what I really need is a outside third-party workflow. So let's make this one happen. There is an app. I love that statement. There's an app for that. There's definitely an app for that. Seems like it shifted a little bit over here. Let me shift back. Yeah. Well, I didn't have that configured right now, personally. Well, actually, when you do click on New Document here, oh, you know what? Oh, okay, this is this tenant specifically. Depending on the tenant that you have, it behaves differently. My other tenant, my other Office 365 tenant, when I do click on New Document, it does make a new Office web app. Good question, though. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to use an app. And so site actions, add an app. How many of you have already gone to the SharePoint store and checked out what kind of apps are out there? Oh, really? Not that many. So SharePoint store. This is pretty cool. A site owner can actually do this if they have the permissions, if they have the capability. And here's the one I'm going to use over here. Once again, I don't have any affiliation with Nintex, but I think it's a pretty cool app that Nintex has made over here. It is still the Nintex preview app, but it works really, really nicely. Now, adding the app means you add it to your tenant. You add it to your site, right? And then after that, it becomes available to your site. And then other people in the site collection also can add it in their site collection. I already did that because it takes some time. So let me go back a step. What I'm going to do over here is say, well, let me see what I got. Do I have an, well, actually, since I already have it, it should show up inside content. So let me show you that first. Here it is, Nintex Workflow Platform. Perfect. Now, so I have it here. What do I want to do with it? I need to first go to this library that I created before, SPC Docs. Let me go there. And I want to put my workflow here. So library tab, Nintex workflow appears right there in the ribbon. Context sensitive, help for the users in terms of apps, in terms of education, in terms of support is extremely important. I very much believe that. It's got to be right there. Otherwise, people will not use it. So this is great, Nintex workflow. Let's click on that. Okay, just takes a second. Connect to SharePoint, gets the workflow activities and all, and then I'll make a quick app. For all these things, what I did before when we found out that there's lots of issues happening with network and all that stuff, I made videos for everything. So just in case something doesn't work, I'll show you the video. But I think it's working pretty good right now. So design a workflow. Workflow, there's lots of different cool actions, flow actions, core actions, list actions. I'm going to go into flow actions, take a conditional branch, put it over here. If you've never seen Nintex workflow, here's your chance. Configure this, and here I'm going to say that do a list lookup. So I have this list that I am making this workflow on. Or I'm sorry, an app that I'm making this workflow on, a document library. Okay, and for that, I'm looking for the expense column right there. If the expense column is greater than a specific value, and that's going to be $200, then kick off this workflow. Well, then go ahead and continue down this branch. And right here, I can click on this and insert the action. Or I can just go ahead and pick an action from here. My action here is going to be a core action, I believe. And that's going to be send an email. Yeah. Let's do that. Send an email. And then configure this email. It's going to go to me, the pretend boss. For now. Okay, expense is too high. Check out this expense. Something like that, right? And then we can actually look up as well, just like in SharePoint Designer, you could do lots of different lookups to give dynamic values directly in the body. But I'm just going to go ahead and click on Save, and then I'll go and make a log to history list. Let's do that. That's going to be also a quick one here. Configure. The value specifically is going to be what do you want to put it? Well, what I want to put over here is that expense is over 200. Great. And on the left side now, log to history list. Like I said, it's going to be an easy one. So expense under $200. Yeah. Great. That's my branches. I am done. Simple workflow in here, but there's a lot to explore. Publish. Publish is going to be expense reporting, let's call it. Workflow task will be the task list. History will be the history list. Great. Start on manually and start on create. That's fine. Save. So now it's publishing the workflow at that library app, and it's going to put it out there for new documents and all for existing. I can go ahead and manually push that as well. There we go. Close this thing. Get me back to SPC Docs. Now this one expenses $300, right? So I'll go in here, click on this right here, and workflows. And this is actually pretty beautiful as well. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed this thing, that there's a preview that it shows you in here. Go to workflows here. Within here, I'm going to click on expense reporting. Expense reporting, let's see, I should have started up already. Let's go back to that same workflow status page, and it's completed very fast. So within that here, this is what we got. Expense over $200, which is correct. Should have got an email as well, which I can check because I'm in the cloud. It's much easier to check it over here. And I'll go to Outlook and check that out. And let's see, 2:40 p.m., that sounds about right. Yeah, is that today's date? Yep, looks like it. Okay, so that's how easy it is for it to come, for it to use a workflow, for you used to any app, really, in this case, a workflow app, right, to make this happen. All right, so hopefully this gets you excited about using apps if you have not used them already. Nintex, and there's many others which are free completely. You should check them out, see how it is. You know, if any time you don't like a preview app or something like that, it's easy to take them out. Yes? One more time now, if you could take. That's correct. You can make a new view. Oh, okay. That could be a workflow scenario. Okay, so if you could have it. there's so many different workflow scenarios. And I'm just showing you one specific one over here. But that's a very good point. Okay, so another scenario over here. Since I made quite a few scenarios, I want to be able to get through all of them before you guys get out and start spending more money in your casinos. Okay, so make available key information from documents and columns as metadata for easy sorting, filtering, creating views, facilitating search. So what does that mean exactly? Well, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in the documents, right? Document information, the document metadata, all the stuff that you have in the documents, it's always kind of like hidden in the documents. That's been like that for the ages. How do you really free them up? How do you take them out? Now, I got some possible solutions for you. Of course, there's more, but once again, enforce that all users set the metadata when they upload each document. And then call me once that happens, because I would love to see your strategy. Assign a person to go through each document and manually extract each piece of relevant data. You know, that's their job. You're the data extractor something person. I don't want that job. But that could be a job, you know, because there's a lot of good data out there. Next thing, create a solution programmatically. It didn't even fit in one line over here. That extracts the information from documents, and that happens quite a bit. And actually, that's a very good way of doing it. You can definitely make that happen. Extract information from documents to put it in columns. Or use a third-party metadata extractor app to automatically extract the data. This is another place where I'm showing a third-party app. This one is called Pingar. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Pingar. That's also a pretty good app that I found, and I really, really liked, so I'm going to show that to you to show the possibility of what's possible with apps. Okay? And then after this one, we're going to go to the out-of-the-box functionality, but this is one more where we show the third-party app over here. So let me go back over here to my site. And actually, in this case, I think I have a different site altogether. Or actually in the same site, but a different tenant. Let me find it. SharePoint videos at sharepoint.com/site/developer. Let's see if this one is it. So I actually manually uploaded this app specifically because I wanted to get the latest and greatest. And if you go to Pingar Metadata Extractor, now this remains the exact same. If you go to the actual app, you've added, same thing. I've done it manually over here by manually uploading the app, but this is what it says about the app, right? Hey, I'll let you go ahead and extract all this good stuff over here. Keywords, age, email, money, organization, location, credit card, phone. I can do all that stuff automatically. Now, there's actually a bunch of different steps. Well, not a bunch, but there's a few steps which you need to do to actually set up this app. Once it's set up, then you can use it again and again, many different sites. But that specific configuration that you got to do, it's got to happen at the term store. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about in a minute. So that somebody else has to do, not maybe a site owner. But then the site owners can use this app, and here's how. I'm going to go back to my site. A regular team site, let's say, okay? You go to your documents where all your documents are. In my case, in this document library, I've already run it for a few documents to check out how this works and how this looks. So I've ran it on all these different documents. I think I got one here that I didn't run it on, so I'm going to run it on this one. So within this document, first of all, you go, and from here you say, Pingar metadata extraction. Let's go ahead and extract the data. There are some algorithms within it which actually look for specific types of things. So currency, emails, dates, locations, geographical locations, organizations. And those algorithms, from what I've been told, actually can also be manipulated if you have this in-house. But this is the app which has specific things that it does, and here's what it pulled in. That's pretty good, actually. BCS, Bowl Championship Series, College Football, 1998, Washington, BCS. You know, one question I had when I first saw all this stuff is, if it's all like one string, then it's not gonna work. It has to be separate values, which I can go ahead and use to filter. And you can, so that's the good thing. You can go ahead and filter using those different things, so BCS, CNN, Denton. Okay, so that's how it actually pulls all the information. Let me show you one more thing about this thing before I leave Pingar here, where it puts all the information, because it's collecting a lot of stuff over time. And what it does with it, this is, of course, the Office 365 tenant, but at the same time, just like in your in-house on-premise, there's a term store right here. Within the term store, it makes, well, actually, you're supposed to make it yourself and then map it. But once you make a new group, it actually goes ahead and puts the information within the term set. So all the locations got extracted and got put in here for later usage. Same thing for emails, same thing for dates, etc. And that's how this one works. Yep? All right. I think it's a pretty cool app. And that's how it works. Yeah, I agree. It's pretty good. I think PingOut guys would love it if they heard these applause. Okay. So I'm not sure if there's any people from PingOut over here. I'll talk to them later. In any case, going back now, I talked to you about a couple of different third-party apps, and I think they're pretty cool. But now let's go back once again to an in-house, something that comes out of the box, and it's the following. I found this to be really, really cool. That's why I kind of left it at the end to show you. So how do you show a location map within a list or library? Well, why would you want to, first of all? Well, you know, contact list specifically has a lot of data that's location-specific data. And I've seen before people have taken JavaScript, people have taken programmatic type of solutions and then shown, you know, programmatically or other ways, location-specific data, graphical data, directly in a list or library. Now, there's an easy way of doing that, and I'm going to show you how that works. Now, of course, one of the choices here, one of the possible solutions, is buy a web part from a vendor, shows a map. That's one way. There are definitely things like that out there. Creating a custom solution, always on the table. You could do that. Use some nifty JavaScript to embed the map control on the page. That's some stuff that has been done before. You can definitely still do that. Or, now there's a new column. Many people don't know about this column. It's called geolocation type of column. So geolocation type of field type. And I'm going to utilize that to make my solution. How many people have worked with that already? Few? None? Zero? Anybody? Nobody? I see one hand over here. Okay, so one. Okay, you can close your eyes. Everybody else? Here's how this works. So for this one, actually, I had to enable this one first. This is one thing you should know about the geolocation column. And don't ask me for the exact reasoning, because I've not been able to find that yet. But it is there. It is part of the product. However, it is not available unless until you programmatically make it available or use a few PowerShell commands to make it available. If you want to know how to make it available within your in-house environment in SharePoint 2013, just do a search for geolocation column SharePoint 2013, and you're going to find it. It's very, very simple to make it available. It's like four lines of actual PowerShell that a server admin has to run. But once it's available, here's what it does. It's very, very cool. All right. So I got my site here. And what I'm going to do, first of all, is make a contact list, a contact app. Excuse me. Add an app. Add an app. Working on it. I love those terms of working on it. And what is it? There's another one that pops up below it saying, this should not take that long. Sometimes it takes long, though. I don't know why. I wonder. Anyway, okay, so find an app. Contacts is the app that I'm looking for. So let's make this, call this, all right, I'm just using this because I have a couple other contacts list on this site. I don't want to have the same name. So SPC contacts, okay? All right, once again, I'm using a virtual environment here, which is completely like an in-house environment. So SPC contacts, where did you go? Right here. What I want to do is I want to use that specific column that I was talking about. It's called a geolocation column, once it gets there. So as you know, to do that, you go to the list and you say create column, or you can say list settings. And if you're looking for a specific site column, you have to say add from existing site columns, right? Add from existing site columns. That's what I want to do. All right. This column appears in the custom columns group once you enable it, and that's right here. Let me just show that to you so you know what it looks like once you enable it. Location in this case. And you'll know it once you add it. Click on OK. Go back out. The way that you'll know that you've added the right type of column is looking at this, and it says location, geolocation right here. And here's what it does. All right. SPC contacts. Let's add a new contact. In my case, I'm going to go ahead and add myself. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I'm from Chicago. Any Chicagoans here? Woo-hoo! All right, I got a couple. Come on, there would be more. All right. So sad this Sunday when Bears lost. No comment on that. Anyway, so here's the column, right? Here's a specific one that I'm going to go ahead and modify here. It's called the location column. You can use your specific local location if you have that service turned on in your environment, or you can specify a specific location right here. What do you mean specify location? Well, you can go to a specific location and say exactly which latitude, which longitude do you want to show, you know, in the map for this person. Pretty cool, right? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do a search. I'm going to Bing it. Okay, here we go, Chicago. So I got my latitude and longitude right here. Come on, let me copy it. Copy. Go ahead and paste. And then longitude. Let's go ahead and copy and paste that as well. Longitude. This is a negative value here. I'm not an expert in this latitude and longitude, but this goes from, I think, negative 180 to 180, something like that. Okay, and here it is. Isn't that cool? Look at that. Yeah. Very, very cool. Now, some of this kind of stuff was possible before, too, but you had to go through a lot of different hoops and use JavaScript and all that stuff, embedding, blah, blah, blah. Now it's just right there. So here's what it looks like, by the way. Click on Save. Your list itself is going to look, come on, like that. You got person's information, and then you got that location. So like, oh, okay, well, this looks okay, but okay, here's what you do with this specific view, right? You got this view. You click on this location, this globe over here, and this globe shows you the actual location, which is great. And this, by the way, is right there. It's just a live map, by the way. You can move it around. It's right in by Lower Wacker Drive. Brings me back home when I think about this. Right in downtown Chicago. Great. That's a latitude and longitude I provided. It's not my home. I don't live there. Just letting you know. All right. New item. This one here. And you know what? Actually, before I do this, let me do something else. Okay, so I got this view, which is going to be okay, but when you really want to utilize this functionality, you're going to want something better. You're going to want a view which shows you, by default, the people and or whatever else. It could be used in other lists too, by the way. But in this case, the contacts and the actual location of those contacts right there. That's going to be a business requirement usually, from what I've seen. So in this case, you go to the list tab. You go and say, you know what? I want to make a new view. So here you go, new view, create view. Now, I don't know if you guys know about this thing, but there's a new view also when you turn this thing on called the map view. How awesome is that? Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Let's click on it, see what it looks like. Okay, so the map view over here, here's going to be, how about people in my company or people at SBC because I used it for SBC, right? One thing you want to make sure when you do that, and it's going to be automatic anyway because I made it a default column, is that location column has got to be there, okay? So as long as the location column is there, then location will show up, and here's how. What do you guys think about that? Pretty cool, right? Hold on, one more thing. I completely agree. Okay, so new item. Let's put another new item there. You know, then, of course, you're thinking, all right, so how will the other one work? Will there be two maps? Or will there be one map? Here's how it works. So Tim Smith. And specify a location. This time we'll go ahead and do a quick search here for New York. Hopefully everybody from New York over here is safe. You know, everybody's safe back home for you guys. It's definitely a pretty big disaster with Sandy and everything else. Okay, so New York here. Got the latitude and longitude over here. Let's pick that up. And once again, it took right in the middle of New York and gave me that. You can go ahead and pick a specific address and map that out. All right, so we got this over here. And then I'm going to click on Save, and here's what it looks like. Same map. Two different locations. All live data. Absolutely, definitely kudos to Microsoft for making this geolocation field possible, because this geolocation field type, which comes, by the way, as a site column, Please remember that, that when you're looking for it, like, what, how did this guy show me? How does it look? Well, you have to look for a side column. Okay, side column is where this is. And you add it to any list, any library. I use the context, but you could add it to whatever, and this is what it does. So definitely, I think, solves a lot of good business scenarios. Obviously, you need to have internet connection to get this app to work, but you know, that's usually the case in most intranets. Okay. So, last couple of things, then I would love to take some questions, and also got the cards over here and all that stuff. A few call to actions over here. ShipOnVideos.com is, like I said before, there's a lot of video, a lot of good content over there. Welcome to connect with me. I would urge you, I request you, that if you had fun today, please fill out the survey. Really appreciate it. That helps quite a bit to us speakers, so please do that. And thank you very much for sticking around. Appreciate your time. Thank you. Yes, sir. Actually, if you don't mind, we can just take it over here. Now, one more thing before everybody comes up over here. Here are the cards. If anybody's interested, if you don't mind, just make a line or something. And I'll hand them out. Here we go. All right.